If there's one thing he'd learned working the emergency room at the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas as a med student, it's that nothing good happens after midnight. Maybe in the sleepy town in Buffalo, Wyoming, he didn't get the prostitutes with fractured jaws, overdosed teenagers, gangbangers with lead between the eyes, or sex adventurers reluctant to explain the gerbils stuffed in their posteriors. But still, when the phone rang at 2 a.m, Patrick knew it would be bad. He rolled over and jostled his wife, who was unseasonably buried under layers of blankets that he'd kicked off himself in the night. "Suzanne, I've got to go in."
"Be careful."
Her mumble was on autopilot, the same words she always said, and he was certain she didn't break out of REM sleep. "Suzanne, Suzanne."
"What is it?"
She jerked to a sitting position, looking wide-eyed, wild-haired, and suspicious in the meager moonlight streaming in the window, but still so damn beautiful. His heart did a somersault. The same woman he'd been in love with since he was a 15-year-old honor student at A&M Consolidated High School in College Station, Texas. He touched her cheek.
"Everything's okay. I have to go into the hospital. Can you make sure everyone finishes packing in case I'm late getting back?"
She slumped back onto her pillow.
"Sure."
"Thanks." He dressed in the near dark, in the clothes he'd left out the night before. He was the doc on call, after all. Before he left, he pressed his lips to Suzanne's temple. A contented, "hmm," sound interrupted her soft snores. Then he walked quickly from the upper-level main living area to the lower level, which was built into the side of a hill and mostly a basement, and out the front door to his car parked on the circle drive. With no garage, it was the same trek he made year-round. He moved stealthily, using the Indian fox-walking techniques he'd learned as a child in Boy Scouts. Crouch low with the hands on the knees, raise the foot high, set the outside of the foot down, roll to the inside and put the heel down, toe down, and weight down. Repeat. If someone were to see him, he'd feel silly doing it, but he was alone, and it was good practice for his upcoming hunting trip. He was just passing his daughter Trisha's room, and he sure didn't want to wake her. Lord save me from moody teenagers. Perry wasn't as bad at only 12, but his day would come. It would be bad enough when Patrick rousted his family at the crack of 9 to herd them into the truck and up the mountain. He shut the door of his white Porsche 914 as quietly as he could. Last night, he'd parked in preparation for a quiet getaway, facing the car downhill and setting the emergency brake. Now, he released the brake and let the sports car gather speed until he was nearly to the bottom of the driveway. As he made the roller coaster descent, he cranked the windows down. The only sound was wheels on dirt road. Then he popped the clutch, and the Porsche roared to life. The drive to the hospital usually only took 5 minutes, but they were always 5 minutes of white-knuckled terror. Suicidal deer and low-slung roadsters were a deadly combination, and the deer came out in full force at dusk, terrorizing the roads until nearly dawn. Suzanne had chewed him out in good for buying the Porsche. There were only 2 drivers in their family, she reminded him, and they already had 2 cars, her bronze station wagon and his old truck. It probably wasn't time yet to tell her that he had his eye on a Piper Super Cub airplane now that he had his pilot's license. But he loved the Porsche. And damn it, when a man married at 19, the only girl he'd ever dated, had a child at 20, and worked multiple jobs while studying medicine just to keep the wolves at bay, well, that man deserved a Porsche as soon as he could afford it. It wasn't that extravagant. He'd bought the cheapest version they made, but it still said Porsche on it like the fancier models, and the black hardtop could be removed to make it a convertible. He'd been proud of his frugality until he'd promptly spent the savings on special order parts and mechanics who only knew American cars and big trucks. As if it were reading his mind, the engine sputtered when he stopped at a traffic light. "That's it. This turd is going on the market," he mouthed the words to himself. Glancing sideways, he saw a bleary-eyed fellow driver staring at him from the next lane over. It was a teenage boy in a truck with the windows up. "What's the matter, buddy? Haven't you ever seen anyone talk to himself before?" He nodded. "At least I always know I'll get an intelligent response." The light turned green. Patrick gunned the engine. The Porsche roared forward, but the truck shot away ahead of it.